Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, George M. Tabor's Judgment of Paris examines the 1976 blind tasting in Paris that placed California wines alongside leading French wines and produced results few part a ton expected. A journalist for Time and the only reporter present, Tabor first publicized the tasting and later expanded its background, personalities, and consequences into this work of narrative nonfiction. The book is both wine history and an account of how reputations are made, defended, and revised. It traces the rise of post-war California winemaking, the ambitions behind the tasting organized by Steven Spurrier, and the surprise victory of Napa Valley wines in the Chardonnay and Cabernet Sauvignon categories. Rather than treating one afternoon as an isolated contest, Tabor explains why it became a durable symbol of a changing industry. His purpose is to show how technical progress, vineyard investment, entrepreneurial risk, and critical scrutiny enabled an emerging region to challenge inherited assumptions about French supremacy. The result is an accessible study of wine, markets, culture, and the limits of prestige. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the 1976 blind tasting tested reputation against sensory judgment. The central event is a blind tasting held in Paris on May 24, 1976, in which French judges evaluated California and French wines without knowing their identities. California wines finished first in both major categories, Chateau Montelena Chardonnay in the white tasting and Stag's Leap wine cellars, Cabernet Sauvignon in third tasting. Tabor presents the outcome as consequential because French wine had long functioned as the benchmark of quality for much of the international market. The tasting did not logically establish that every California wine was superior to every French wine, nor does a single panel supply a permanent hierarchy. Its importance lay elsewhere, by removing labels and reputations during evaluation. The format revealed that trained tasters could find excellence in wines from a region many European authorities regarded as secondary. The contrast between expectation and result made visible how strongly wine judgments can be shaped by origin, tradition, and status before a bottle is opened. Tabor also makes the reader see the tasting as a media event whose significance depended on interpretation after the scores were announced. It became a powerful challenge to the assumption that quality belonged naturally to established regions. In that sense, the Paris tasting was less a final verdict on France than a public test of whether authority could survive evidence that contradicted it. Secondly, California's emergence was built before the Paris results. Tabor situates the tasting within the longer development of California wine rather than portraying the winning bottles as accidental miracles. The book describes a wine culture rebuilt and reshaped after Prohibition, aided by growers, producers, educators, and investors who believed that Napa Valley could support fine wine, improvements in vineyard management, varietal selection, cellar practices, and access to technical knowledge created the conditions for ambitious wines. This context matters because the Paris result can otherwise appear to be a simple underdog story. Tabor shows that the California entrance came from a community making deliberate quality choices. Often while operating without the deep prestige, capital, or multi-generational identity associated with famous French estates. Competition and cooperation both mattered. Producers had incentives to develop distinctive brands, but the reputation of any one winery also depended on the region becoming credible as a whole. The book therefore links individual achievement to regional institution building. California had to prove that it could produce not merely pleasant wines, but wines capable of aging and of standing comparison with recognized classics. The tasting provided unusually visible confirmation of that ambition. Tabor's historical approach also clarifies why the outcome affected consumers and trade professionals. It supplied a memorable signal that a developing wine region had acquired capabilities that traditional rankings had failed to acknowledge. Thirdly, blind tasting is useful, but not a perfect scientific verdict. A major strength of the book is that it preserves the drama of the result without requiring readers to accept blind tasting as infallible. Blind evaluation can reduce the immediate influence of labels, price, producer fame, and national identity. For a contest designed to compare wines across entrenched reputational boundaries, that was a meaningful corrective. Yet Tabor's account also invites attention to the conditions that shape any tasting. Wines evolve differently with age, bottles may show variation, and preferences can be affected by service, sequence, stylistic expectations, and the composition of the judging panel. Debate has particularly surrounded the white wine selection, since the vintages represented did not necessarily offer equivalent growing conditions in Burgundy and California. Such concerns do not erase the surprise of the day or the quality of the winning wines. They do, however, limit simplistic claims that the event definitively settled a universal contest between two nations. This distinction is central to reading Tabor carefully. The enduring lesson is not that a scorecard can permanently rank all wine regions, it is that claims of automatic regional superiority deserve testing under conditions that minimize prior knowledge. The book thus offers a broader lesson in critical judgment methods can expose bias, but methods themselves must also be examined. The value of the Paris tasting comes from its ability to unsettle certainty, not from its capacity to end debate. Fourthly, Tabor explains how a small trade event became global wine history. The Paris tasting was initially a modest event connected to Stephen Spurrier's wine school and retail activities, not a planned international referendum on national prestige. Its later stature depended substantially on Tabor's presence and reporting. As the only journalist in attendance, he recognized that judges were reacting to wines in ways that contradicted conventional expectations, recorded the result, and reported it for Time. The book consequently explores an important mechanism of cultural change an event gains force when a credible observer gives it a clear public meaning. Tabor's reporting transformed a specialized tasting into news that consumers, producers, and critics could understand. The phrase "Judgment of Paris" itself also gave the event a memorable frame, linking a technical evaluation to a familiar idea of consequential judgment. This attention to media does not diminish the achievement of the California wineries. Instead, it explains why their achievement became influential beyond a narrow circle of tasters. Wine markets depend heavily on stories, ratings, provenance, and signals of trust because buyers cannot fully assess a bottle before purchase. The result gave California an unusually compelling signal. Tabor shows how this signal traveled through publicity and later retellings, helping make Napa Valley recognizable to a wider audience. The book is therefore also a case study in how journalism can amplify an overlooked event while preserving enough factual detail to challenge mythology. Lastly, the lasting legacy was a more competitive global wine culture. Tabor treats the Paris tasting as a turning point because it widened the field of legitimate contenders in fine wine. California gained prestige, but the broader implication extended beyond one region. If Napa Valley could produce wines that French judges rated highly in a blind comparison, then quality could no longer be assumed to follow only old classifications or European lineage. This shift encouraged attention to producers in other New World regions and made consumers more willing to explore wines on their own merits. The change also placed pressure on established producers and institutions to distinguish genuine quality from inherited reputation. In this respect, the book connects the tasting to a more competitive and international wine economy, one in which technical knowledge, site expression, and sustained investment could alter standing over time. Tabor does not reduce wine to an industrial product. Terroir remains important to how wines are made and understood. But the account rejects the idea that terroir is meaningful only when certified by historical prestige. Great wine emerges from the interaction of place, farming, craftsmanship, and judgment, and these elements can exist in places that elite opinion has overlooked. The legacy is therefore double-edged. Greater openness brings choice and opportunity, but it also creates more marketing noise and more pressure to convert regional identity into a commercial asset. Judgment of Paris remains valuable because it explains both the liberation and the complexity that followed the collapse of a simpler old world versus new world hierarchy. In conclusion, Judgment of Paris will appeal most directly to wine enthusiasts, sommeliers, hospitality professionals, and readers interested in Napa Valley or the modern history of taste. It is also well suited to readers who do not possess technical wine knowledge, but enjoy accounts of industries changed by an unexpected challenge to established authority. Tabor offers practical intellectual benefits rather than a tasting manual. Readers gain a clearer basis for assessing claims about regional prestige, a more nuanced understanding of what blind tasting can and cannot demonstrate, and historical context for the global range of fine wines now available. The book encourages curiosity about producers and places without replacing one rigid hierarchy with another. What distinguishes it from many wine books is Tabor's unusual position at the intersection of reportage and history. He was not merely reconstructing a famous tasting from later legend. He attended it as the sole journalist and helped bring it to public attention. At the same time, the book reaches beyond his eyewitness role by tracing the California industry and the people whose work made the result possible. Compared with guides focused on grape varieties, regions, or purchasing advice, it explains why wine reputation changed. Compared with celebratory accounts of Napa Valley, it retains room for methodological questions and historical contingency. Its lasting value is its combination of accessible narrative, firsthand authority, and a measured account of an event that altered how the world thinks about where great wine can be made. If you would like to support George M. Tabor, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.